Our Bali/Perth correspondent, Suzanne Hart, worked extensively with American companies in Bali to facilitate incentive programs that rewarded and recognised their top corporate achievers. We asked Suzanne for her perspective on the high-yield segment of the business events industry and whether it would change post-COVID.
I have Suzanne Hart on the line from Western Australia, where she's trying to be our Bali correspondent, but I've actually got another hat for her to wear today because of her experience in Bali working with the business events sector. Suzanne, welcome back to the show. You're seriously a regular now. They're going to think you've got an annual pass.
Oh, I love talking to you. It's great fun.
It's great to talk to you too, Suzanne, and to have you sounding so happy, quadruple vaccinated and looking a million bucks over there in, I saw you rolling in the wildflowers of the west coast of Perth. That was something to behold.
I'd like to just clarify that statement, Graham. I was not, in fact, rolling in the wildflowers. There's a very nice little path that is set up almost deliberately for people to go and have a photo opportunity taken.
Oh, I thought it was the side of the road.
No, it wasn't the side of the road. It was actually Coal Seam Reserve.
Oh, okay.
It's just not so far from Geraldton, inland from Geraldton.
Okay. I'm glad we clarified that.
Yeah, but I was not rolling in them, Graham. I just want to be clear about that.
I was treated very lightly. I didn't mean to suggest you were either liquored up or in any other way impacted by foreign...
Or being inappropriate amongst nature.
That's right. But no, you were looking very fit, I must say, and that's a good thing too. So physically and mentally, I would think you are 100% on where you were in Bali right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling, still continue to be very, very grateful to be home here in Perth. And even as I sit here, unfortunately, and it's raining, because I'm really hoping that at some point there will be summer. I've just recently moved to South Fremantle to do 6 months here just by the beach and have access when the sun comes out.
So you'll be in the water when you can.
As often as possible, yes. Yeah. So we continue to be very grateful here in Western Australia that we can move around freely and we'll cross our fingers for as long as that can happen.
During your good times in Bali, when you were working hard up there for a destination management company, you did a lot of work with internationals who were providing incentive programs for their top achievers, for a sort of a reward for the hard work done, and sometimes these are part of a package which might be a non-cash package, and often travel is the incentive that is offered. So I just want to talk to you today about how that works and why organisations are prepared to fly their key staff and their top achievers to other parts of the world, and you know what sort of benefit you feel it provides back to the organisation. Obviously, there's got to be some return or they wouldn't do it. But just tell us a little bit about your experience in that space.
Yes, very, very interesting to be in the role that I was in Destination Asia, because when in my life as an event manager, one of the most influential on me, the jobs that made the greatest impact on me, was when I worked for an incentive management company. Before that, I'd been in corporate conferences and as a PCO. And as soon as I stepped into the world of incentives, I was wide-eyed thinking, oh my goodness, I think I might have found my niche. And I was fortunate enough to be able to run a lot of incentive groups in my business that was based in Melbourne at the time. Most of my incentives were for smaller groups, up to about 60 or 100. I seem to just always have lovely groups of about 30 that I could manage very closely, and we all got to know each other very well over the years. So I had I came from the operational side of looking at the benefit of incentives. Why do we do them? Why would we offer them? What's the return on investment for the company? And then when I was offered the opportunity to go up to Bali and head up the team who were responsible for bringing all of those logistics together for the clients. So I was essentially on the other side of the food chain, so to speak. And it was really interesting for me to then have that same sort of conversation with people. But of course, when people were coming to us, They were, it might have been an event management company that were looking after an end client. Sometimes the end client came directly to us and they wanted to talk about, well, of course, Bali was seen to be an amazing incentive destination for so many people from all around the world, not only Australia, but the Americans absolutely love, I'm going to use the word love, not loved, Bali, mm-hmm. for so many reasons. It's very exotic and very, and it's a long haul for them. So when we started being able to actively attract companies that were interested in coming to Bali from all the way across the other side of the world, it could have been Europe and it was certainly America, when I would have a chance to chat to them and then they would come and visit on a site inspection and we would be able to show them the island and the sorts of things that they could offer their participants, their group that they were bringing, completely blew them away.
Right.
So it was very interesting to be able to talk to them about it with, I guess, with my, you know, former incentive management hat on, about we know that these are the sorts of things that really make an impact on people and where you're really going to see the most impact, where people are going to go home and just talk about this was the best trip ever.
Does the fact that Bali is less expensive than other destinations, does that come into the equation for these corporates, or is it that they can throw 100 people at something to get things to happen?
I think it's a bit of both, because Bali on the ground was, now I'll say was, because goodness knows what it's going to look like in the future, and I dare say it will be very different. But Bali was always very cost-effective in lots of areas, but not in others. So, for example, when our Australian clients were coming, and of course Australia was one of the largest markets that we looked after when it came to incentives, for obvious reasons, the problem is that alcohol is really expensive. And many Australians
love a beer.
More than a beer. So that was always a little bit of a, that was really challenging. So there was cost savings on one side of things where the airfares were okay. The hotels, goodness, you could really get some fantastic
value.
Hotels and villas and accommodation options for much less than we could in Australia, for example. So there was definitely that. The other side, of course, was that the group, the participants were able to have an experience that was truly unique to the destination.
Right.
So what they're going to get in Bali is not what they're going to get anywhere else in the world.
Incentives are very much about a continual stream of amazing activities and experiences and things, and very seamless. You know, it's got to look like you're in a six-star situation almost at every turn, doesn't it? It's a high-end reward.
Well, yes, and I'm going to speak from my personal experience professionally, if that makes sense. But one of the things that we always talk about, one of the things that I always talked to clients about, was that we don't necessarily have to go six-star to provide an incredible experience. And some of the best experiences were some of the most simple and the most basic in some ways, in that it's hard to go past having, trekking through, we'll talk Bali, trekking through rice fields and then arriving at a location where a table has been set with a tablecloth and there's staff waiting to serve you some beautiful Balinese, authentic Balinese Indonesian food for lunch. But that doesn't require a lot of bells and whistles. That's just
an experience.
Destination to speak for itself. Mm. And I think that that's often, and I hope that that's the way that incentives will move in the future. Hopefully we'll just come back to allowing the destination and the location to speak, and all of the other things that sit behind the scenes are just seamless service, beautifully prepared food that might just be simple. It could be served as a picnic. It doesn't have to be served as a 9-course degustation, but then that may be appropriate in other ways too. So I think that it's really, for me, it's always been about being able to help a client see and get the most from their experience at the destination.
Right. And did it usually involve both the employee and their partner?
It often did. It depends very much on the company. And that's an interesting dynamic too. What I often found was for example, a program where the partner is invited to come along may be a franchise business where the partners, you know, the husband and wife may have work in the business together, and then, of course, it's only natural that that would happen. At other times, they want to reward the spouses, whether they're male or female, because, of course, as we know, behind every great high-achieving salesperson is a long-suffering spouse at home.
That was our correspondent, Suzanne Hart, speaking with Graham Kemlow about corporate incentives. And we'll play the second half of that interview next week.